welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 429. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Benak. Having a good day, bud?
I'm having a great day.
Awesome.
I don't know, just getting lots done and just plugging through life, I guess.
Yeah, it's there's a lot happening right now, trying to keep things going and staff moving this way and that way. So I'm having to find new ones and but I don't like.
Life is chaotic right now, not just from the work perspective, which is total chaos in and of itself, but then my kids are in like a million different activities and they're all conflicting schedules. And now my wife's gone for 3 days and I got to deal with everything. And it's like, I'm just like, how could I have a nervous breakdown? And like, I don't make as good of a mom as she does. So, you know, I just got to power through it.
About that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also, and to sort of segue into something more serious, Ukraine is certainly a mess. You know, we don't talk politics, but thankfully this is something we can get into because this is just a mess, and it's horrifying. And it's hit close to home for us. Dennis, our web developer, who's been with us, I was thinking he must be 15 years or so, he finally escaped one of the Russian occupied territories, and we managed to help him get to a new location in Czechoslovakia, and he's now working again. But you know, family's still left in the Ukraine and are close to all the horror. It's just a difficult time, and you know, it's so weird to be able to watch all of it happen in social media, on the news. And one of the biggest contrasting things I find, and I'm not going to go into this in depth or anything, but is just how different the news can be versus what's happening. Not quote unquote fake news garbage. That's all paranoia, but it's more the different takes on it. Some things don't really get into specific parts of the news. It's just like they leave it out. And I've been finding some of the non-US, non-Canadian, non-Britain newscasts to be more interesting and more unbiased. Anyway, it's been a revealing, and you know, it's only possible because of the internet and how free everyone is to post. And you know, people who are citizens are posting, so you see things a little raw, unfortunately, but you get to see what's really happening. It's a fascinating world we're living in, as scary as it is too. Anyway, we're really happy Dennis is back and safe. I just hope for his parents to get out of Mykolaiv, which is where they are right now, which is under shelling right now. I can't believe what's going on. Next up, not a segue really. there's a critical Chrome and Edge update, something we discussed recently and actually got all our staff to update on. In this case, there's a there'll be a link in our show notes to it, but Malwarebytes talks about it, the exploits and vulnerabilities involved. It's a very important update. Anyone who's using them would have using Chrome probably has already done the update. Or if you haven't, you'll see a little update request in the top right of your Chrome browser. Edge doesn't seem to do a good job of announcing it. I think it just must do it behind the scenes. Good old Windows, it just does it without asking. Because I never saw the request. I just know mine's updated.
I think we should point out to listeners too that Edge is actually an internet browser that is put up by Microsoft. Not a lot of people know that is because nobody uses it, I don't think.
Well, most people, they know it as Internet Explorer, which is, again, is something that is a bit antiquated. But, you know, it's amazing how many people use these things. And Edge has a huge following now because it's faster than Chrome.
Yeah, they surprisingly do. It's definitely grown. I kind of lie a little bit about how nobody uses it, but I don't use it.
So. Hack on Microsoft, though.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Bill.
He's feeling it, man. He's feeling it.
Yeah.
But these are important because you can get hacked very easily if you don't keep up on top of these updates. So don't ignore them. We, in fact, had to deal with one of our clients having a password issue, losing quite a bit of access. So whether it was exactly because of that, we don't know, but it was the same timing. So it was a little suspicious. Let's jump into the SEO news. Immense Google search ranking volatility. What's this about?
Yeah, there's a lot happening right now. And this just is just happening in the past couple hours. Although when you listen to this, it's going to be old news maybe. But yeah, there's maybe a big update happening right now, or it could be the tail end of the product review update. But it does sound like the update is maybe more widespread than what the product review update might cover. So we don't know a lot about it right now, but Barry Schwartz had reported that all the various tracking tools that report on, you know, search weather, I guess you could say, are kind of off the charts today with chaos happening. So, you know, we don't know a lot about it yet. It's so new. It's only like hours new, but if you're seeing craziness happen, it could be related to this update. I went through and checked literally every single one of my clients, and I don't see any signs of anything crazy. It's like, it's always that way, isn't it? Like just once, but not, I'd like to see something go nutso with our clients, hopefully in the good direction, and, be able to learn more directly from it. Because right now it's all I'm stuck looking at other articles and trying to figure out what's going on, but keep a close eye on how your sites are ranking and what your traffic is like over the, you know, the start of April here, because if this is a big update, like it might be rolling out for a couple of weeks, possibly. It's hard to say, but it's happening right now.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Of course, depends when you're listening to this, but.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it happened yesterday. It happened 14 years ago today.
Yeah.
Do you remember back in 2022? We're now on episode
2000. And yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny I say that because during the last recording, I almost wished people a future Merry Christmas just to try to be funny. And I thought that'd be stupid. And now it seems less stupid. So
it does. It does. So did you cover both of those? No,
I'm going to move on a little bit more here. So let's assume that it's a different update from the product review update. If that's the case, the product review update, which has been rolling out since mid-March and is just kind of wrapping up now or not now, I guess, is
not to confuse anyone.
I had all my notes and then this other update got thrown in and threw a wrench on everything. but the product review update is reportedly smaller than the product review update from December. If it's a different update. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. If you've got a product review site, this matters to you. If you don't have a product review site, you know, but you maybe review products on certain pages or something like that, it might matter a little bit. But these product review updates are periodic refreshes. So basically that means if you're hit by one of these updates, you have to wait for another one to recover from it. John Mueller noted last year that we could see this review update being baked into future core updates, but that's not the case right now. So if you were hurt by it, you're just going to have to wait, unfortunately. Hopefully if you were hurt in December, you're doing better now. I have a whole bunch of notes here and I'm not going to go through all of them because I feel like it might be overkill. But if you do have a product review website and you want to improve how you're doing or recover it for a future update, if you were hurt, really the key is creating high quality, insightful reviews, showing expert knowledge, comparing the various products with other products, show and provide quantitative measurements, how they perform. Like if you're reviewing a car, show actual gas mileage, not just the mileage that you might see, you know, in the manufacturer's specs, so that kind of stuff. Just go really in depth, lots of media, make your reviews super, super valuable. That's sort of the key
element of all of this is that it is unique. All of these are your photos, your videos. You're not copying from anyone. That is really the linchpin. When I looked at this originally, it just seemed like that was everything. I think many of these review sites were just enjoying sitting on the coattails of other sites that are doing great jobs. And they're just copying content and images. So yeah, be the one that creates the best photos and always uses their own content and really hams it up and tries different media, not just one. Don't be a one trick pony. Don't just use images, do video, do audio, whatever you can, and it will pay off. Which is good. It's once again, Google trying to make us work harder for the visibility that we have. They're trying to make really all of these different things that used to work to, unfortunately make money easier to get are now going out the window, and they want you to work for it. And the best part of this is that it does tend to flatten the competition out a bit. You know, you're going to have a better chance of competing, and those who try to be lazy about it just won't succeed as well anymore, which is a relief, because some of these sites were just churning. They were putting out websites, duplicating them, spinning them, using the same graphics, same images, all this stuff, and just clogging Google with multiple sites with the same product, hoping they're going to get a ranking. Well, that's going to be a lot harder now, and that's, I think, good for all.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Never mind the environment, which is actually something that's going to come up again in a little bit, but just think how much energy is used by Google to index those sites and consider them and then reevaluate them, et cetera, et cetera, and when they're just garbage. Yeah, we don't need that.
Absolutely. Yeah, those days of just regurgitating whatever you want and being successful are long over.
Yeah, and for the affiliate market, that's, they're going to be pining for the days, because that was pretty easy money.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, not just product review sites, but I see a lot of these pointers applying heavily to the affiliate spaces, because that's essentially what an affiliate site is it's a review site of sorts for the most part.
Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. Because they try and find that middle ground, which gets people interested and makes them feel like they're not just going to a sales site, which, you know, when people see a sales site, they take everything with many grains of salt and don't trust it. Whereas review sites, if they're authentically built, can be really powerful. And the ones that aren't authentically built or just copies, you know, can trick people, and no one likes to be tricked. All right. So another thing, the URL, Google's URL parameter tool is going away. I think I heard about this a couple weeks ago, but maybe not. Is this brand new?
Yeah, it's pretty new. I don't know how many people are still using the parameter tool. I haven't really used it for a while now, and I don't think many people do. It's actually found in the legacy tools in Google Search Console. And effectively, it's used, if you have a dynamic site that has a lot of different parameters showing up in your URLs, you can go into Google and say, ignore this one, index that one, and give Google rules on how to treat those parameters. While Google says that the tool offers very low value, with only about 1% of the configurations being useful for crawling, and it's time to go. So if you do still use it and you go in there and tell Google what areas of your site to ignore, it is time to switch that over to your robots.txt. So you can apply rules to robots.txt that effectively do the exact same thing. And even to an extent, hreflang. I didn't realize you could use a parameter tool for language and country specifications and stuff. I've never noticed that, but according to Google, hreflang is a good alternative, so you must be able to. So make sure your hreflang is in good condition, and make sure your robots.txt is applying any rules you want that would be applicable there, because as of April 26th, that tool will be gone forever.
And I'm afraid there are just too many little acronyms there to unpack. I'm sorry for any newbies there. hreflang, robots.txt, there's a lot there. This isn't expert stuff, but it isn't 101. However, it is very important for many of our listeners who have been at this a while. So glad you shared it. I just brought this up because I'm really fascinated by this, but again, this is one you added and I hadn't seen this. New Google search label for highly cited sources. This sounds cool.
Yeah, so I have not seen this in the wild yet, and it could be we're in Canada and Google likes to put us on the back burner. But what people are seeing, and who wrote this, was over on Search Engine Journal. Matt Southern posted this when did he post this? The tail end of March, actually. And some news stories and articles and things in Google are getting this little label attributed to them that says highly cited. So, you know, if you've got a top story on your website and people are citing it and you are fortunate enough to get that highly cited banner across your listing, that could have a huge impact, I would think, on your click-through rates and traffic to your site. I'm not sure what the thresholds are on making that happen. Matt doesn't really mention that, or if he even knows at this point, probably, but it's just really, here to help searchers identify pages that other news publishers consider relevant. So yeah, anyways, hopefully we see more of this.
Yeah. And it made me think about the recent purchase of, I think it's 9% of Twitter by Elon Musk. He did that to ensure that, it's now controlling interest. He has control over Twitter in terms of shares so that he can try to make it more ethical, allow people to edit tweets, all this stuff. Pretty interesting. All this is in the same vein to hopefully improve the quality of the content that's coming out of it and improve the ethics of Twitter.
Could you imagine you're used to using a tool, a website, whatever, and you really want to see a change made and they're not doing it. So you just buy the company and make the change yourself. Like, I mean, it's only 9%, but still, you know what I mean? Like to have pockets like that, like, I don't know. I'd be like, oh, my McDonald's is mad at me. I don't have the money to buy McDonald's to make better fries. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of a company that maybe I could buy, but there aren't any. So,
and it's absolutely mind blowing. This guy is so, I'll use the word in unique. My wife thinks he's absolutely stark raving mad, but he lives in like a 600 square foot trailer. One of these mini homes. Actually, it's one of these mini homes. Apparently, like what's Grimes, whatever his girlfriend lived with him for, I don't know. The ones he had the kids with, and they were eating like macaroni and cheese every night for a week. Like,
he what? Just really?
Oh yeah, he does not spend any of his money on himself.
I'd be spending all my money on myself. Yeah. They're nothing.
There's rumors that he'll be the first trillionaire, but I mean, if he's not spending, I don't wonder.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's nuts.
As far as I know, he doesn't really do much philanthropic work. Like, he's not much of a philanthropist, is he? I've never really heard of him.
I think he is, but I don't know. I can't spell off what they are. I don't know why I think he is, but I think he is because he seems to be quite an ethical dude from what I've seen. I'm no big fanboy, but that's what I've seen. I've been impressed with what he said so far. Certain things are crazy, but anyway, it's not the Elon Musk show, but I just wanted to share that was interesting.
I will add, though, there are a lot of changes I'd like to see made on Facebook. So Elon, if you're listening, if you could just buy Facebook and then reach out to me and I'll let you know what to do there. Cause Mark is just ignoring my angry posts. So
yeah. He doesn't listen to the show enough either.
No kidding.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some local SEO, Mueller files, and just a lot. It's been a busy time. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. You know, I was thinking about this, and I still haven't figured out what to do about it, but it's Stepforth's 25th year. I can't really believe that. That's how long the business has been around. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, should we, like, create a fancy logo? I don't know what to do. Anyway, I always dreamed of it being a big party, but this is not the time for that. This, anyway, pretty cool. Just came up out of the blue in my brain there, but 25 years.
I'll drive down Saturday to see you. We'll go out for a beer.
There you go. You're on. All right. Well, let's jump into some local SEO here. And I thought this was pretty cool. Google Business Profiles, occasionally they add little features for businesses to show how they differentiate themselves. One of them is you can add different categories such as, or tags to them, such as woman-led company or responsible. I don't forget the other ones. That's the one I see the most. But this new addition is there's a recycling attribute. And this new attribute allows you to place on your page or within your profile, what kind of recycling your business may do. Now, it is not available for every type of business, and it's so new that there's not a lot of clarity in which ones will get this access. But if you do get it, use it. Hell, if you recycle the batteries in your store, use it. We would. If we had this shopping, I definitely recycle our batteries. I don't throw them out. So that's something I would add there. It's another icon that appears under your profile. It makes it that much bigger. It shows that you are updating on a regular basis, which Google loves. And it also shows a certain amount of responsibility, which, you know, we may take for granted, but perhaps a prospective client or customer or patient doesn't consider that. You know, they think it's amazing. And that's one small step towards you being chosen versus your competitor. So very cool. I think it's a nice thing to be added. And I hope it stays. You never know.
And it kind of segues nicely into a bit of a conversation on Twitter recently. And this is something I almost skimmed past, but then I started thinking about it. I thought it might be worth discussing. And that is John Mueller was asked via Twitter, if Google started boosting companies that are kinder to the environment in search results, that'd be an impactful update, wouldn't it? And yes, it would. But John's response was, We have looked at some of the options here. I think it would be pretty neat. However, it's tricky. What would you use for metrics? And what kind of got me here is that he said they've looked at options here. So they've actually considered rewarding websites and businesses who do environmentally beneficial things. And I don't know if they've talked about it. I wouldn't be surprised if a future update somehow incorporates that. And even as John had said, like, it would be tricky, like, what would you use for metrics? And that's probably one of the biggest reasons they haven't. Like, what would you use for metrics and how would you verify all of that? But, you know, if Google enforced something like that, gave you just a couple bonus points in your rankings for putting solar panels on your roof. Yeah, or a tiebreaker. Yeah, for just adding solar panels to your roof, or I don't know, incorporating some kind of recycling program like your batteries, or, you know, whatever. I don't know. That would have wide-reaching effects around the world. So I don't know. Maybe it's time. That's everybody be as environmentally responsible as you can, and maybe you'll get a ranking boost for it someday. I don't know.
Well, and the other one I could see being really awesome is if they had some kind of a community, I don't know what you would call it, community effort ranking, I don't know, some way for everyone to, like, maybe make it a static piece of the business profile. So something that if they didn't fill it out, it would still show, but it wouldn't have anything next to it, which would be a bit of a mark against them. But something like, how do you sponsor your community, or how do you give back, and just have something that you put in there. You know, maybe we every year we do this particular fundraiser, or we sponsor our church nearby, or whatever. It'd just be nice to have people get a little bit of pressure to do more in their communities. It'd be kind of cool. And they wouldn't really have to police it. I'm sure there'd be idiots out there who tried to game it, whatever. It wouldn't be necessarily a ranking factor. It's just a consideration factor for prospects. And I think that'd be a really nice addition. And it's a good dovetail into this. Again, they would not have to qualify it. So they wouldn't need metrics. Anyway. And the next up here is Google. Out of stock products may impact search visibility. This is a Search Engine Journal article, and I thought it was very worth adding, because many of our listeners have e-commerce sites, and many of them may have items that go out of stock. This is kind of fascinating. They're treating out of stock URLs or other stock products as soft 404s. So in other words, well, if you have a 404, it means the page is no longer there. You're telling Google that. A soft 404 is when you redirect someone from what should really be, there's nothing here page, you know, 404, to another page. So you're kind of trying to cheat things a little bit by giving them something. And that's not a bad, horrible thing, but Google considers that a soft 404, and they generally treat it differently, if not just discount it. So they do believe that you know, when they noticed this, that this will impact your search visibility. It was more of a discussion with Mueller. Let me just bring it up here. See if I can find the highlighted text I found here. So Mueller's discussing it. And he says, it doesn't have to be the case in particular. If you have a lot of information about that product anywhere in those pages, then that page can still be quite relevant for people who are searching for a specific product. So it's not necessarily that something goes out of stock and that page disappears from search. It still could show up, in other words. And the point though of the matter is though, that it, when something out of stock is out of stock, quote, we will assume it's more like a soft 404 error, where we will drop that URL from the search results as well. Theoretically, it could affect the visibility in search if something goes out of stock, unquote. Again, the reason I want to bring this up is it's theoretical. Someone brought it up and he did a great job of responding. And this is something I'd never even considered would be the case. I figured that Google would know by looking at the schema on a page if it's embedded that there isn't any stock, and they would discount it to a degree. But I didn't realize that a soft 404 seems a pretty intense response. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is intense unless Google is back in there spidering frequently enough that as soon as that item's back in stock, they can flag it as in stock. Because yeah, really, like if I think about it from a shopper perspective, and I'm trying to buy something, I click on the link for the, I hate to say widget, but I'll say widget, go to the page and it's not in stock. It's frustrating. You got to go back and find another website that has the thing in stock. But at the same time, I mean, could you be penalized for that? Like, let's say it's an item that you commonly rank really well for. You sell a lot of them. You happen to be out of stock. Now Google flags as a 404. You lose that ranking. How quickly do you get that ranking back when you're back in stock? I guess that's the real key. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be a long-term loss, or are you just going to be hit short-term? And even when it's out of stock, from a business owner perspective, you know, you still want that traffic. Maybe you can serve up an alternate product that's equally as good, but you're not given that opportunity to direct the customer to something else. So, you know, I guess
I can hope that they don't discount that option, because that would be, that I think is a better experience. Although I have heard debates around that.
There's fact, both sides to the coin. Yeah.
John Karka and I have had that discussion many times, you know, which is the best way to go. Same thing with WordPress content. You know, if something's removed, what do you do with it? It's definitely different. There are schools of thought on it, but I personally like an experience where I'm not getting a 404, or if I do get a 404, there's an immediate recommendation below of where I could go. That's a better place. I guess that's more of ideal.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for experience, not very much for SEO. Anyway. So Google does not care if you outsource content as long as it is quality. And pretty much the title says it all, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we could just stop there. The only reason I like to include these little things is they're short, they're simple, and they give us a little bit of insight into Google. We kind of knew this already anyways, but John was asked, how much does it matter if a publisher is outsourcing content for scalability reasons versus having content created by staff or staff writers? And John's response was really quite simple. He says, I don't think for the most part, I don't think for the most part that we differentiate. It's more about the quality of the content overall, which is true.
He has to get used to saying, I don't think, just simply because there's always depends. In this case, I don't see how there is, but he's being careful.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He does go on to clarify the statement a little bit, saying that it would be different if you're aggregating content from other websites, which is something we could pick up on. So, which is very true. If you're aggregating content, then you've got potential like duplication things, and not that you'd get a penalty per se, but you know, you're not necessarily going to get a lot of attention from Google and a lot of ranking love if you're just regurgitating content. Unless it makes sense to aggregate some of that content, like, which is really common for shopping sites when they've got, you know, 100 sites, 1,000 sites that all sell the exact same product. It's, you know, it's, you tend to get a lot of aggregation from those types of things. But anyways, yes, hire your outsourcers. Outsource, get it written by whoever you can. You need it.
Yeah, just get it done well. And you know, put an authority building plan together. That's something we do on a regular basis. And they work really, really well. And they're based on content that has been proven to have worked. Why reinvent the wheel? It's something I say a lot, but it's true. Look for content that's excelled in your industry and create your own version of it. I'm not saying copy. I'm actually saying, you know, put your own spin on it or take the idea and take it a step further, but just do awesome content. And again, outsource is fine. We do it occasionally. We mostly have our own writers, but occasionally we need someone who's an expert in a specific topic and we definitely outsource to them. Anyway, I know we have a question coming up, but I think we're going to put that off to the next show. We're a little bit long today. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter. You can sign up for it at SEO101radio.com. Don't miss a single link and refresh your memory of a past show at any time. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Great. Thank you for listening, everyone.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.